opened up with this song, and there's just a wonderful line there. It's the last half of that. Let's follow our leader into the glorious unknown. This is the life like no other has known. This is the great adventure. And I'm going to draw our attention this morning to a passage of Scripture that shows how some people reacted to a call to a great adventure. If you have your Bibles with you this morning and you'd like to turn with me to Luke chapter 1. And we're going to look at stories centering on three people. Three people to whom something extraordinary happened. And we're going to look at the reactions of each one of them to that. You know, in the Old Testament, there were, starting with Aaron, the priestly family expanded in every generation. And there were those who were called to minister in the temple, and King David organized them into courses of priests. Okay, this family and their descendants will minister in the temple this week, and this family and their descendants will minister in the temple another week. And the way that that worked is it was on a cyclic basis. And even through the time of the exile, they kept track of what week each course and each family was supposed to minister. So by the time that Zacharias was a priest in Israel, they still knew what weeks he was supposed to be there. And basically what the way it would work is this. Each family would have 2 weeks a year that were their weeks, and there were certain holidays in which all of the priests were called to come to Jerusalem to minister. Those are the big holidays where they had gatherings and what have you. So by and by, it was Zacharias' turn to minister. And lots were cast to determine who actually got to do each part of that priestly ministry. And the lot fell to Zacharias. I'm going to start in Luke 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as a priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Let's stop right there. Zacharias expected nothing out of the ordinary. He'd probably done this duty before. He had certainly been a part of his order doing it before. And he was just going about his daily business when something extraordinary happened. He saw something that he had probably never seen before. A messenger from the throne of God standing right beside where he was about to burn the incense. And his reaction was not one of excitement. It was not one of anticipation. It was one of fear. How many of us react to the unknown or the unexpected, and the first flash that hits us is a fearful reaction? What does this mean? What is this all about? What am I going to have to do now? Is he come in judgment? Why has this angel come? What am I supposed to do? Oh Lord, give me a break. Give me some relief here. So he reacts first. His first reaction is in fear. But the angel, as in Scripture angels are wont to do, says, "Fear not." The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." Now wait a minute. Hold it. I quit praying this prayer a long time ago. We're not spring chickens anymore. We're older folks. And the time of rearing children is behind us. And I know that continuing the family name is important. And I know that a woman in our society takes her worth from the ability to bear children, in particular to bear sons. But aren't you a little late, angel? Couldn't you have done this when we were young enough to enjoy it? Why have we had this torment our whole lives of being childless? Oh, poor Zacharias and Elizabeth. She just couldn't have a child. It's a shame. They're such good people. You shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He also will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him who? In the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, wait a minute. You're telling me that us old folks are going to have a son, and we're going to name him a name that nobody in our family has, and he's going to do all this stuff? He's going to be the fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to wisdom? This is extraordinary. I can't believe this. This isn't in my realm of experience. It's hard to take. Zacharias goes on here and says to the angel in verse 18, "How shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife is well advanced in years." Hey, you know how he'll know this? The angel just told him. Not only did Zacharias react first in fear, he follows up fear with unbelief. So you add those two together, and we have a situation that hamstrings and ties up followers of Jesus Christ from day one to today. When you add fear to unbelief, you're living in bondage. You're living in a place where you can't even see victory, much less possess victory. You can't see an answer to prayer, much less possess it. You cannot see being saved, delivered, and healed, much less possess it. When we add fear to unbelief, it's a trap that's really hard to get out of. I'm one of those people that believes that plastic wrap was invented at the throne of Satan to vex the righteous. I was attempting to wrap up a plate of cookies this morning with said plastic wrap, when not only did it wrap up on itself, the roll fell out of the box. That vexes us, right? There are certain things that each one of us have that says, you know, if I touch that, it's going to be a problem. That's what this fear and unbelief does to you. It tangles up your ability to receive God like that piece of plastic wrap wadded into an unusable mass. And it's pretty hard to unravel it once you do that. You see where Zacharias was here. He was bound up. He was first emotion being fear. It opened him up to unbelief. Well, the angel's going to give him another answer over and beyond the one that I just told you. He says this, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings." Well, he didn't receive them as glad tidings, did he? "But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. Stop there for a second. Sometimes when we don't believe God, we have to be taught to believe God. There was a God-ordained plan here that was going to be fulfilled in spite of Zacharias's fear and unbelief. And the angel says, just so you understand what's going on here, you're not going to be able to talk until this is all done. So for a time period of at least 9 months and probably just a little longer, Zacharias had his lip zipped. He was unable to speak. And trying to explain that to folks had to be difficult. Some of them probably said, God's judging him for something. He must have done something terrible. God zipped his mouth up and he can't even talk. But then we go on to the second person in this story. In verse 23, "So as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, Elizabeth, his wife Elizabeth, conceived, And she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days which he looked on me to take away my reproach from among the people." We don't have a lot of Elizabeth's initial reaction. But we do know this. Ladies that have been pregnant and had a child, did you not know pretty much the moment that you conceived? If not so, you knew a couple weeks afterward. Something's different here. Elizabeth knew that she had conceived, but she doesn't go running through the street shouting, "Woohoo!" She doesn't do anything obvious to celebrate, but she immediately thanks God, and she says, it says she hid herself for 5 months. Now, when Elizabeth, an old woman who had been barren her entire life, if at 1 month pregnant she had told all of her friends, "Hey, I'm having a baby," their reaction would have been, "Yeah, right. Just something else going on here. You're not pregnant." When Elizabeth received the knowledge that something miraculous was happening, and I'm sure that Zacharias had told her on a pad about what he had seen, but Elizabeth holds this close to the vest. You know, there's a pattern today that a lot of times God will visit you and plant a seed in your life, a vision of a ministry or a vision of a destiny, a plan that he's calling you to do something. And if you go out and tell people about it, they're going to say, "Yeah, right. Yeah, sure. God's going to let you do that." Elizabeth didn't give him that opportunity. There are some things so near and dear to you that you want to hold close to your vest. You might tell someone who is extremely close to you and extremely faithful to God, whom you trust to handle your words with great discretion and take them before the throne of God, but you don't want the general public to know it because you know there's somebody out there that says he's dead. He must have been into sacramental wine again because he's figured something out that's just not true. Poor old Elizabeth, she's going through the change and she thinks she's pregnant. You see what's going on there? There's a time to tell people what you saw, what your destiny is, what your vision is, but there are also times in order to embrace that destiny, that vision, that destination, that great adventure, that you have to hold it close until the appropriate time. Remember that verse we put up there from the song? It said, "Into the glorious unknown." They were flying into the unknown. And Elizabeth chose at that point in time not to share it. It says for 5 months she shut herself away. Well, at 5 months pregnant, to the casual observer, there begins to be some evidence of pregnancy, in most cases anyway. So there was confirmation when Elizabeth began to come out from her self-imposed secrecy. It was, "Yes, I'm pregnant." So we go on. And we go on to the third person in this story. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." All right. First of all, understand clearly that in that day, betrothed meant that you had gone past. It was a formal and legal and religious relationship. This man and this woman will be joined. They are joined, but they have not yet come together as husband and wife. The man has gone to prepare a place for his bride, often in his father's house. Does this sound vaguely familiar? And at the appointed hour, he will come and claim his bride. They will conclude the nisuin, the home-taking ceremony, and the bride will be taken then to the bridal chamber. And at that point, the relationship is consummated. So, Joseph and Mary were formally engaged. They had not been alone with each other. When they met under supervision. There was no hanky-panky going on anywhere. But they were formally in a relationship that had structure and legal boundary. And it's very clear in Scripture that Mary had not had any kind of relations. And along comes this angel to Mary, who's presumably in her parents' home, awaiting the bridegroom to come and take her away. And this angel appears and says, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And Mary's reaction, well, when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And this doesn't say she was afraid. It says she was troubled. It was going through her mind, what does this mean and why? She doesn't seem to question that this is an angelic visitation at all. But here's this person appears to her and greets her in this odd manner. And she begins to think, what does this mean? That doesn't say she doubted. It doesn't say she feared. But it says she was troubled, which means she has conflicting thoughts going on. What does this mean? Are you in the right house? Puts you in mind of Gideon, doesn't it? "Hey, almighty man of valor, who me? I'm here hiding in a wine press trying to thresh grain. I'm hiding, you're calling me a mighty man of valor?" But you see, God has a way of calling you to a destiny. He may not call you what you are, where you are, when you are. He will call you to your destiny. He called Gideon to a destiny as a deliverer. He called Mary to a destiny as a deliverer, as she was going to deliver the incarnate Son of God into the world and therefore deliver salvation to any who will call on His name. You see where that comes in? God will call us to our destiny. God may speak to you in your prayer closet and give you the indication that you need to do thus and so in a ministry. You need to go to this place. You need to say that. You need to go visit such and such a person. And you say, "That's not who I am." God says, "That's who you are. You just don't know it yet." There's a time, there's a place, there's a destiny, there's a ministry for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. They may not all look the same. They may not all sound the same. You may, like Jonah, not like the people that you're called to go minister to. Remember what happened to Jonah. He ran the other way, and God sent him special delivery by way of great fish right back to where he was supposed to be. I wouldn't want to be in the fish's belly. But sometimes we do that. We run kicking and screaming in the other direction, and God says, "Oh, no, no, no. Come here, kid. You're going that way." So, back to Mary. She's troubled at this saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid." Thank you, angels. "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Wait a minute. You're telling me I'm going to be the mother to a king? And not just any king, because kings have a time stamp. The king reigns from when he's coronated until when he dies. And this says, he will reign on the throne of his father David forever. This is no common king that Mary's going to bear. Mary, being a practical young lady, says in verse 34, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Apparently she knew biology 101. Practical question. Not a "I'm afraid," not anything other than, "I don't understand how this is going to work, God." How many of us have said, "I don't understand how this is going to work, God," on something a whole lot less dramatic than this? "I don't get it. I don't see it. I am at wit's end corner. I can't figure it out. I have gone through plans A through Z, and I'm starting on the Greek alphabet. I don't get it." And that's a legit question. It's okay to say, "God, I don't understand how you're going to do this." But the angel gives her an explanation. Very clearly and powerfully, he says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Now, Mary, in case you doubt this, I'm going to give you a little witness. Another reason, perhaps, that Elizabeth hid herself for 5 months. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren, for with God nothing is impossible. Test of two witnesses, right? The angel comes and tells Mary this extraordinary thing is going to happen. And if you happen to possibly doubt that this extraordinary thing is going to happen, let me tell you about this other extraordinary thing that's already in progress. Mary, whose initial reaction was, I don't understand how this will work, upon that confession from the angel that nothing is impossible for God, says this, then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word, and the angel departed from her. No fear, no doubt, some practical considerations, and you talk about a journey into the glorious unknown. Mary was about to go on one. You know, the very practical aspects of what are people going to think? What are people going to say? What's this going to look like? Oh no, what's Joseph going to say? How's this going to work? All of these life-changing things Mary saddled up and rode into willingly. Mary had a level of faith in God that few of us would have. Forget the consequences. I'm not worried about it. If this is God's plan, they're not my, the consequences aren't mine to worry about, they're God's to worry about. I'm along for the ride here, Lord. Just help me do it right. But Mary does get another confirmation. She goes to visit cousin Elizabeth. And immediately, verse 41, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. There's another witness. Actually, two of them. John leaped in his mother's womb, and Elizabeth is overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit and speaks prophetically to Mary to confirm what Mary has not yet told her. Did you get that? Mary said, hey, Elizabeth, I'm here. The babe jumps, and Elizabeth gets this prophetic utterance. She didn't know Mary was pregnant. Mary hadn't had the home-taking yet. She knew nothing. But the Holy Spirit knew everything. So all of this confirmation just boils up. And we get to the point then that Mary reacts once again. And Connie read part of that as we lit the Advent candle of joy this morning. The Magnificat of Mary, the song that said, my soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. And that whole passage that follows that. It's a celebration. Mary has received this angelic visitation with this extraordinary message. And she doesn't understand the mechanics of it, but she's willing to do whatever God asks her to do. And then she gets confirmation. And she is so moved in her spirit that she spontaneously erupts into a song of joy to her God. When we get called into the unknown, do we see it as a great adventure? Do we anticipate going off, riding off into the glorious unknown? Let's see where God's going to take this. Or do we hide in fear? Fear reaction tied Zacharias' lips up until the moment when at John's birth and 8 days later when it was time to name him, they're going to publicly announce his name, and there's a great debate because all the people telling Elizabeth they need to name him after somebody in their family. And Zacharias motions and says, give me the pad. And he writes, his name is John. At that point, boop, his lips are loosed. When the prophecy is fulfilled, Zacharias, you're going to get some relief. Prove to me that you believe me. I think a lot of us may have received some direction from God, may have received an idea that there can be an answer to our problems. And like Zacharias, we reacted in fear and doubt because we can't figure out how it works. And some of us may have, unlike Elizabeth, scattered our bread before the dogs and just went and told everybody everything. And they said, yeah, right, sure. You? Uh-uh. Not going to happen. I remember at one point in time, I told a fellow that I was doing something to advance my ministry. It was nigh on to 20 years ago. And he said, you? Ministry? You got to be kidding. You know what I did with that? I pitched it out the back door because I knew something he didn't. Some of us, like Elizabeth, hold it till the right time. There's a time and a place to say God has called me to, because with all of God's prophecies, with all of His instructions, with all of His plans, there is a timing sequence that's part of it. Elisha followed Elijah for years before the prophecy was fulfilled and he succeeded his master. David was anointed king years before he became a king. And that wasn't an easy process. Saul kept trying to kill him, and then after Saul was dead, it took a while for all 12 tribes to unite under David. There's a timing to everything. Joseph had prophetic dreams and spent 13 years in Egypt before his brothers bowed down to him. There's a timing to everything. Elizabeth held hers until the time was right. And then Mary, who said, whatever, God, she did what she needed to do. She acted how the Spirit led her. She said, whatever, God, whatever you've got for me to do, I'm willing to do, and I'll follow you through the whole process. And so she comes to the house of Elizabeth, and when there is yet another confirmation, we don't have a real sense of timing here, with the exception of two things. When the angel announces to Mary that Elizabeth is pregnant, she says she is in her sixth month. And then when Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, it again says Elizabeth is in her sixth month. She didn't wait around. She went ahead and headed off to Elizabeth. I wonder why she went to Elizabeth. Did she go to Elizabeth for motherly advice? I don't think so, because Elizabeth had never been a mother. I think she went to confirm what the angel had told her. And boy, did she get confirmation. She got confirmation in two forms. She got an unborn child whose spirit was moved by the spirit of the child that was in her womb. And then she got this prophetic utterance from her cousin. Yeah, she got confirmation. So I'm going to ask you today, what visions God placed in your heart? What idea from God has He placed in you? What word have you heard in a time of prayer and solitude? What ministry are you sitting on that God's called you to do? How did you react? Did you react in fear and unbelief and are sitting there in bondage, unable to perform because of your fear and unbelief? Have you been in a season of holding something in your heart that God has promised because you did not feel Spirit-led that the timing was right? And maybe you've sat on it so long you have come to not believe, like Zacharias didn't believe, that thing that he had prayed for could possibly come true now. That's expired. It's been too long. This holiday season, this Christmas season is a season of hope. It's a season of beginnings. It's a season of fulfillment of God's word. It's a season of open doors. Let's be like Mary. Let us willingly receive what God has promised us. And let us say, behold your handmaid, or behold your manservant. So be it to me according to your will, not according to mine. And then, like Mary, perhaps we'll receive some reinforcement, but we will certainly receive the fruit of that which we have been promised. So I'm going to ask you to search your hearts today. And if God has not yet spoken something into your heart, if you've not had a vision of where He's leading you, that day can still happen too. Open my eyes, Lord. Open my heart, Lord. Open my spirit, Lord. Tune my ear to your voice. Help me to see and to hear and to know what you have for me to do. And then, Hineni, here am I. Send me.